All right, Alexander, let's talk about the situation with Iran. And we had a deal over the weekend, and now it looks like we may not have a deal, or maybe we will have a deal. What are your thoughts on all the back and forth that is happening?
Well, can I say, I think it's very much the point that we have been making in program after program after program. There is, in fact, a deal on the table. And objectively, and I do mean objectively, in terms of what fulfills the core interests of the United States, it is actually a good deal in the sense that what has been suggested and what's going backwards and forwards, and what Pakistan has been working on, and what was presented to Trump about 10 days ago, a memorandum of understanding for an end to the current conflict, in other words, the fighting, an end to the sea blockade, a reopening, a full reopening of the Strait of Hormuz, and a commitment by Iran to move forward with the question of nuclear enrichment and to do so with a spe within a specified period. That suits American interests, in my opinion, at the present time, which are indeed to get the Strait of Hormuz reopened, to get the United States out of this war, which has not gone well, and which is draining American resources, and which is keeping a large part of the US fleet tied down, trying to enforce an increasingly ineffective blockade. And beyond that period of 30 to 60 days, there is a potential agreement on nuclear enrichment, which is there on the table. It has arguably always been there on the table. It's not, it's again accepts that the United States cannot get all of the things it was demanding before the war, in other words, a total end to enrichment, but it does move the dial in ways that to some extent go beyond the JCPOA and which would ensure that Iran never acquires nuclear weapons, which it says it doesn't want. So objectively, we have a good deal there. At least this is my view. A deal which, had there not been a war, we could have validly said was a success. The problem is there has been a war. The problem also is that the United States went into that war with a totally different agenda, which is not to deal with nuclear enrichment, not to prevent the Iranians from acquiring a nuclear weapon. It was to achieve regime change in Iran and to disarm the country entirely. Now, that isn't going to happen. And the problem is, even though, as I said, these proposals are there, the United States, the president, finds it very difficult viscerally to accept these proposals that are there because they fall so far short of his original objectives. And of course, as we have seen over the last couple of days, there's a whole army of people in Washington, Mike Pompeo, Lindsey Graham, Ted Cruz, all sorts of others, who the moment we start to move towards an agreement with Iran, cry surrender and betrayal. And Trump is incredibly sensitive to this. He's very, very nervous of these people. And so the deal which is there on the table and ready in effect to be signed, we start to see it slip away. Because again, we start to get impossible demands that the Iranians have already rejected and are almost certain to reject again. That Iran hand over its entire nuclear stockpile to the United States, that Iran agree to do all kinds of other things which Iran cannot do politically without mass facing massive embarrassment domestically, and which the United States is not in a position to enforce because it hasn't won the war. But I mean, that, it seems to me, is the problem.
Trump is now comparing his deal, which he says we have not seen the details of, which is true. We don't know the exact details. We have a general outline of, of what is being passed around through Pakistan. So we're not dealing with direct negotiations, at least that's how it it appears. But he is comparing it to Obama and the JCPOA. What does that tell you?
Well, it tells me that he's extremely embarrassed and by the whole affair. He started all of this. I mean, the whole train of events ultimately began when he decided quite needlessly to walk away from the JCPOA. And so he's actually going to get another deal, which is going to be very, very like the JCPOA. But of course, in light of everything that's happened before, in light of everything that he has said, he has to insist as loudly as he can and as determinedly as it can, as he can, that what he is indeed going to end up with is going to be materially different from the JCPOA and vastly better than the JCPOA. If there is going to be a deal done, it is going to be very much along the lines of the JCPOA. But he can't, you know, bring himself to accept that. He can't bring himself to admit that. And of course, he dare not admit that to Lindsey Graham, Ted Cruz, Mike Pompeo, Robert Kagan, and all of these other people who, as I said, are going to be furious with him.
It's going to be worse because it's baked in the cake, because you're dealing with Hormuz. The JCPOA had no Hormuz issue.
Absolutely.
Right? And Hormuz is one of the big issues, one of the central issues now, if not the central issue.
Well, objectively, Hormuz ought to be the central issue. Objectively, the other big issue is that the United States is making all sorts of threats of going back to war, except that it's doing so from a situation where it is, you know, to a great extent disarmed, because it used up so many weapons over the course of 40 days that it's run down its inventories. It's having to default on contracts to Germany and Japan to supply these countries with Tomahawk missiles because it's run out of them. So it cannot go back to war, at least, of course, it can, but it does so from a much weaker position. That is the reality. All of this agitation, all of this, these demands from the neocons that we've been hearing for the last 10 years to attack Iran, to go for the head of the snake, to cut off the head of the snake, to all of these claims they've been making for the last 10 years that Iran is a house of cards, that all you need to do is blow on it and it will fall over. That has, of course, turned out to be completely wrong. But they still maintain that position. They still won't retreat from the demands they have made. Remember what we always say, these people have no reverse gear. We see it now. They're not acknowledging the reality. They are not accepting the responsibility. And by the way, what they're doing, and they know exactly what they're doing, is they're trying now, faced by the situation which we see, they're trying to shift the entire responsibility for this debacle upon Donald Trump, who disastrously listened to their advice and to Netanyahu's, and is now in the position which he is in.
Look, the neocons are not going to give up on this because they've gotten what they wanted, or at least they're so close to getting what they want. They actually got the hot war, which they've been trying to get for 47 years, and they actually got it now.
Yeah.
And for them, it's their last chance. This is their last opportunity to destroy Iran, to get regime change, to cause chaos in Iran. And they're not going to give that up. Because if they give that up, if they let Trump walk away from it this time around, there's not going to be a second chance.
No.
And they know it.
Exactly.
So they're not going to give up on this.
Exactly.
I mean, they've been presidency after presidency, they've been trying to get a hot war, and they got it. And then you have the complication as well of Israel and Lebanon, and that's also allegedly in these terms, where you have a ceasefire in Lebanon. So it's not only one war, you've got two wars going on, And you've got the U.S. and you have Israel. And the U.S. is now negotiating on behalf of Israel and on Lebanon.
You are absolutely correct. You're totally correct. And the Israelis are furious about that. And one of the reasons they're furious about this is because, obviously, they don't like being in a situation where the United States, which has different interests to Israel, is nonetheless negotiating on their behalf. The Israelis wouldn't like that anyway, even if they like the terms that have been talked about, which, of course, they don't. So the forces that are mobilized against any kind of settlement with Iran are extremely powerful. So Donald Trump needs to make a choice. Either he capitulates again to the neocons and does what they want and drifts back into a conflict when all the indications are that it will end in a deeper and worse debacle and an economic crisis, or he finally stands up to these people, something he has consistently failed to do, both in this presidency and in his first one. And then we might actually start to see a deal, a real deal, which, to repeat again, objectively is good for the United States. It may be JCPOA 2 with a few knobs. It might be worse or rather softer in some respects than the JCPOA. But again, anybody who's analyzing this thing impartially can see that the reason we are in that situation, well, we have to negotiate, the United States has to negotiate for something which ideally is less than the JCPOA, is because it is in a weaker position. Exactly as you said, Hormuz is now under Iranian control. Before the 28th of February, it was not.
All right. Final question. It's going to be a memorandum of understanding,
yeah,
a letter of intent memorandum of understanding. This is not a treaty.
No,
it's not.
No,
we're not talking about security guarantees either. It's 60 days of a ceasefire.
Yeah.
Even if Trump agrees to this today, even if he announces today, we're going to sign this MOU. I mean, I've dealt with MOUs. I'm sure you've dealt with MOUs. Even in the business
thousands of them.
Even in the business world, an MOU is about as light as it gets, and they're broken all the time.
Exactly.
How does this thing hold up?
Well, it probably doesn't. I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, if we're having all of this trouble even getting to an MOU, which is, as you absolutely correctly say, ultimately nothing more than an agreement to extend the ceasefire for either 30 or 60 days. But if we're getting all this trouble over an MOU, I mean, realistically, expecting that we're going to get a full agreement, a treaty, in other words, I mean, it's going to be unbelievably difficult. It would require someone who has a degree of consistency and a strength of will and a force of personality to ram it through, which it's absolutely obvious Donald Trump doesn't have.
I mean, there's no trust in you're almost at a level where you have to first build trust. And how do you build trust after all of the decapitation strikes and all of these things going after negotiators?
Yes. What exactly?
I mean, can you do that within the framework of an MOU? Can you do that within 60 days?
I would have thought not. And the Iranians always talk about the fact that there is a complete lack of trust. And, of course, put aside the neocons who remain, as we see, organized and powerful. Because all of these comments, by the way, from Pompeo, Cruz, Kagan and the others have been orchestrated. I mean, they're all coming one after the other because, well, they've agreed with each other to do it. I mean, Lindsey Graham talks to Ted Cruz. They all talk to Pompeo. They're all aware of what Robert Kagan is saying. So, I mean, you know, this is orchestrated. So, but quite apart from the sabotage that the neocons are going to be doing in Washington, there's Israel as well. They hate this agreement. Netanyahu hates this agreement. If an agreement was signed And completed. And as you absolutely rightly said, if there's an agreement of this kind, there is no going back to this war. There is no way that the United States can repeat again what has failed so disastrously. I mean, Iran is going to get stronger as a result of this. The Israelis know that perfectly well. They know that they will be faced with a far more powerful Iran, an Iran that isn't just more powerful, but which is perceived across the Middle East to be more powerful. The Israelis have also seen that their own assumption that they'd smashed Hezbollah in 2024 has turned out to be wrong. Hezbollah is still there. It is still strong. The Israelis are going to be horrified. They're going to sense, with an agreement of this kind, firstly, that the balance of power in the Middle East is shifting decisively against them, and that the United States is starting to detach itself from them. So they're going to do everything in their very considerable power to try to prevent an MOU being converted into a real agreement. And we see that they have enormous influence, not just in Washington, but with Donald Trump himself.
Well said. All right, we will end the video there, theduran.locals.com. We are on X and Rumble and Telegram. Go to Duran Shop, pick up some merch, 30% off all t-shirts and hats. And also go to Substack. Check us out on Substack as well. The links are in the description box down below. Take care.